Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 192. This is the conclusion, part two, My God. Today is Sunday, May 1st, May Day, 2011.
Elgatomo, 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 Elgatomo. Oh, when the Lord get ready, Elgatomo.
Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. Hey, time flies by, especially when your computer crashes and you have old software and you try to build a new computer and the old software. Anyways, it's a long and very sad story, but I am happy to be back. And just a little bit about that music intro. It was just a neighborhood group trying to, you know, copy somebody's music and all that. So anyways, I hope you enjoyed that. So here we are back. This is the month of April. Wow. Where did March go? I think we were in the computer world abyss, just kind of spinning around trying to figure things out. Yeah. Okay, I fired myself as hostess with the mostest, let the domain name expire, and we went through a little bit of a drama, I might say, with that. Got over that. The search engines helped me out, evidently, because I couldn't even deal with it. And but we are learning Windows 7. We are going to be searching for some editing software. Now, I want you to know that Pastor Paul's messages are not edited at all, obviously, if you've listened to his messages. But one thing, you know, back in the recording of the cassette days, way back, there was, when the tape turned, you had that little bit of a break. And so your hostess with the mostest and all of her diligence has to go in and cut that, and that's about what I do. And then sometimes we have some long, you know, where the recorder recording audio guys were asleep and they were maybe talking about the sports game. And then when Pastor Paul, he started, you know, they didn't turn on the tape, or maybe they turned on the tape and then started talking and he was still putting his mic on, you know. So I have to clean up the beginning and the end. So I'm kind of that cleanup crew on the tape deal. Anyways, so just some little, but I'm looking for some editing software because, you know, we want these podcasts to be kind of cleaned up and fun, and you don't want to have to sit there. It's like, well, when is this thing going to start? You know, we got a 2-minute delay in the beginning. So a little bit of housekeeping news for you. Let's see. Oh, the website, believe me, I'm not even going to give you the links. I don't even want you to go. Okay, now that I'm saying that, you're probably all rushed to the website, which is www.pastorpaul.org, and go there. But, you know, it's a wreck. I have to clean it up. Actually, I want to let you know, I fired myself as web madam, okay? So, but then I had to hire myself back again because nobody wanted the job, you know? So if anybody out there is looking for a job, and by the way, your the payment that you get for the job, you'll receive from the Lord because we don't have any money down here. Okay, enough with all the sad stories. Okay, so don't go to www.pastorball.org because I'm going to redo it the best that I can using old software. Front Pages 2003, which Microsoft doesn't even want to admit to. So there we go. But enough with all of that and my sad, sad story. Let me turn down this. Getting a little feedback. Yeah, Pastor Paul, he's gotten a lot of feedback in the days too. All right, so what do we want to talk about real quickly? The messages for the month of April. Okay, let me give you the rundown here. The month of April, I'll probably redo this. Maybe I will, maybe I won't, the intro here. But anyways, I'm going to be redoing everything. I'm just a totally dissatisfied Hostess with the Mostest, Web Madam, and I'm just firing all of those. And you know, I'm going to hire myself as the Chief Marketing Technologist and just get rid of all these things, you know. It's like you get multiple personalities. Okay, so here are the messages for the month of April. The first one, which is where I was in the belly of the computer abyss, the big fish, the big computer fish. How's your memory? It's a good one. Second, now I see. Third, I would be persuaded if, we know some people that's going to really minister to. I would be persuaded if, my God, there we have it, four messages. So we've got the 8th, the 15th, 22nd, 29th. There you go. I am glad to be back. Listen, you have to hear this. The car alarm. Can you believe it? Yeah, it goes off all the time. Have a great month. I really did miss you.
See, only chastisement shall remain for me. I am no more under any kind of judgment. He will judge the world, it says, in righteousness, and his people he's going to judge with mercy and with forgiveness and with all grace. How can you beat such a message as that? And he is also, the Bible says, the God of my election. If, in other words, if I be his child, he loved me before all the worlds, and in his infinite mind has been exercised with plans for my salvation. Oh, God, there's people out there right now that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ that don't know it. And furthermore, the Christian can call his God from the fact of justification. I am justified. Well, isn't that beautiful that you are justified? Maybe you were ornery, and maybe you were upset. Maybe you got into some kind of something that you shouldn't have got into. Does that take away your justification? Now, I'm not saying you're justified in doing that sin, but does it take away the fact that you're justified? No. No, it has nothing to do with justification. See, a sinner can call on God, but he must always put in an adjective and speak of God like an angry God or an incensed God or an offended God. But the Christian can say, my God. Do you realize how beautiful it is? You can go to God and say, my God. The Bible says we were afar off, but the blood brought us close. Adam couldn't say, my God, when he was hiding. He is also mine by adoption, the Bible says. The world may call him the Father of the universe, but no one can say our Father but those who have Abba Father. Printed on their hearts, the Bible says, printed on their hearts by the Spirit of adoption. So let us be clothed by the Son. Let us be clothed by humility. Let us, the Bible says, put on love, the bowels of compassion, gentleness, meekness. Put on the garments of salvation. Let our company be acceptable. Live in the courts of praise and thanksgiving. Live by faith. Don't worry about societies, their smiles and their frowns and their compliments and their scorns. Rejoice not with their joys and fear not with their fears. Care not with their cares, but live by faith and by the power of the Spirit and the beauty of holiness in the hope of the gospel, the Bible says. And in the joy of your God, my God. So now let's look at the exceeding mercy as I close this message. The exceeding preciousness of this great mercy. I will be their God. Could God say more than that? Come on now. You gave yourself to one another. What more can you do? Well, you're trying to think of more things you can do. God gave himself to you. What more could he do? Compare it with what the world has. Do they have anything if they don't have God? Some have a lot of land. Some, the Bible says, are increased in goods. Some have a portion of gold. But what good is gold compared with your God? You can't live on it. Your spiritual life cannot be sustained by it. Will it cure your headache? Will it take fear away from you? Can you buy that? Can you buy that away? Will it take care of a backache? Will it take care of a case of the nerves? What can gold do for a troubled conscience? Now you're listening on the radio. Oh, that's terrible when you have a terrible, troubled conscience. How many know what I'm talking about when your conscience bothers you? You don't? Well, you ain't got no conscience? Well, put your hands up. You put your hands up. God's watching. Put it way up there. Don't put it under your armpit. Put it up in the air. You ever know sometimes people that they think, well, you know, I mean, I'll put it about like this. Put one finger up. Sometimes when they really get convicted, they put two fingers up. Well, I have been bothered many times by my conscience. Oh, God, let me raise all my body up here on this one. Could you put two arms up? Oh, I'll put them up there. I surrender, Lord. Can gold take care of that? No. The water of the Word can. The blood of Jesus Christ can take it when you remember the grace message. When you remember He hath done it all, and not that you're being a smarty pants, but you are justified. Not on what you did or what you didn't do, but on what He has done. You're still justified. Oh, and now you really feel bad. That's the point. You don't have to serve God. But by not being under the law and by all the beautiful things He does for you, you desire to serve Him. It's like little kids. Who wants to wash the car?
I do.
My turn to wash the car. Dad! It was a question. Who wants to serve? Here I am, Lord, send me. I remember when I was a kid, I'd be sitting in school and I was so anxious to answer all the questions. Well, who knows why the rain falls mainly in Spain? I wouldn't know, but I put my arm up. But I always wanted to be the one that was chosen. Are you hearing this? Are you that? Are you childlike and you want to be chosen of the Lord to do things? Don't you love your parents? I remember I'd love my dad and I want my dad to choose me. Huh? Did you ever play this game, I Sinned? How many played the game, I Sinned? You say, what has that got to do with God? Well, God sends you. How many have played the game, I Sinned? You never played that? How old am I? What do they call it now? Some other, you don't know. Thanks a lot. It's all right. But anyway, I send so-and-so after so-and-so. And then they choose up sides, and then you have to touch this guy, and then he's out, and so on like that. And my dad was there, and he was the one that was the captain of the I Send group. And I was standing there, oh, send me, Dad, send me. Send me, huh? And all the rest of the kids would be like, no, send me, Dad. No, send me. No, send me, huh? Well, no, I feel so bad when he picked one of the other kids. I could have killed him, you know what I mean? Oh, God. I haven't changed one bit. I want God to send, I'm greedy. I want God to send me on everything. But some things I'm not qualified for. Did you know that? Sometimes you're not qualified for things. Send me, Lord! Huh? I still put my hand up, though. Huh? How many want to be sent here and sent there of the Lord and want to be used of the Lord? What do you suppose that is? It's what God has worked in you. It's a love that He's worked in you, and now He's working it out of you, and He's giving you desire, and He's saying, who wants to go? I do, send me, Dad. I could hear myself saying it right now. Dad, don't forget, send me. And we went on our one trip in our whole life. We went on two trips in the whole of our life. We were going to Michigan, and my job was to get this ready and that ready and so on. I didn't sleep all night because I wanted to please my dad and have everything ready to go. Huh? Get the water jugs ready. So it's about 85 or 90 degrees, almost 100 degrees on the South Dakota flats. And I got it ready that night. I'll show him how much I like him and love him and everything. Well, next morning it was boiling. You know what my dad said? Well, that's pretty good. You got the water ready. That's really, really good. That's nice. He didn't say that. Later on, I seen him dumping the jugs out. My gussie, this got warm, and it's a few miles. Get some fresh water, you know what I mean? Isn't how God is? Doesn't he do things for us? Doesn't he change the water jugs for us when we we mess up and so on like that, isn't it? Haven't we got a merciful God? Huh? Have you jumped the gun? Have you? Have you ever jumped the gun? Oh, I do it all the time. Oh, I know what you want, Lord. No, that's okay. I know. And that you don't listen. No, I know. Huh? Have you ever done that? Ever done that with your parents? Now, wait a minute. Sit down. I wasn't going to ask you that. Take it easy. Calm down. But I know what you want. I know. Are you hearing this? Well, then we have some that have their portion in the land, don't they, in the world. That which the Bible says men love. Do men love applause? Don't we love applause? And it's all right sometimes. But you know what? It dies down. Don't we love fame? But you know what? Something about fame? It fades. Did you ever see these movie stars in back and now all of a sudden they've faded away? Huh? You never hear of them anymore? How about popularity? Oh, man, they're so popular. You know what? You're replaced. Are you worrying about being popular? You're replaced. You're worried about fame? It fades. Are you worrying about applause? It dies down. But isn't your God worth more than all of that, my God? See, we got everything going for us. I mean, the treasures of the world are nothing compared to what we have. But let's look at the certainty of this promise. It does not say, I may be their God, but I will be their God. Now, some allow God to feed them. Some allow God to keep them safe. Some even allow God to go to church with them on Sunday. But they will not allow God to be their all. Do you think that hinders God? No. He's going to make his promise come true. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Everyone saying, praise the Lord. Look, there's one out there, chosen children of God. He doesn't even know that he's even chosen yet. It looks like a Cecil. And maybe he says, I will not have God. But in the spirit, now hear me right, we see this man covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now I know there's a preaching out there that says something like this. If the man will not have God, then of course God can't have him. Untrue. If God has elected to save you, he will make you willing. Do you know how to make your kids willing? Are you hearing this? Maybe you have a child and he says, I don't want you as a mom or dad. I hate you. Does that ever happen? Not to any of us. How many have said that or felt that about their parents? I don't want you for a mom. You're a stinky mom. I don't want you for a dad. You're a drudge. I don't like you anymore. Did your kids ever say that, Sue? Did they ever say that? I hate you. Huh? Maybe they won't even say it. Maybe they just slap you and they'll curl their lip down. And then they look like, I hate you. Huh? Did your kids ever say that to you? I hate you. I'm going to leave home. They do it too, huh? Well, don't let the door hit you in the seat of the pants on the way out, sonny boy. or girly girl, whatever. Huh? They do it, huh? Praise God, you're lucky sometimes. But they say that, don't they? But does that alter the fact that they're still your kid? Who do they come back to when they get in problems? Right back to Daddy. You know why? Because their heart belongs to Daddy. Do you ever hear that song? Never heard it? Okay. Agree with me then. Say, yes, I've heard it. But who do they come back to? They come back to their parents. And why do they come back? Because they are part of your blood. And do you think that God, because that he has saved you and you say, I'm going to walk away from God, even though probably you don't even know you're saved and you're listening on the radio. Well, I'm not saved. I've never accepted Jesus. But I'm talking about election. I'm talking about that God wishes that no man should perish and that all should have everlasting life. And if he's got his mark on you, you are going to be saved whether you like it or not. Are God haters saved? Are they? Well, you are a God hater, and you are a God hater, and you are saved. The carnal mind is enmity against God. I was a God hater, and you were a God hater, and everybody that isn't born again is a God hater. I mean, as far as love goes. And were you saved? Why? You were part of the family of God. You just didn't know it yet. And how many people are out there right now that need an encouragement and say, you know, God is after you? And when those kids leave home, I hate you. I'm never coming back in here again. I hate you. I hate your guts. I hate everything about you. Oh, if people only knew what a mean dad you were. I remember when I went in the service and I came back on leave, I was going, well, I went to basic training. I came back, it was 4 months or something like that. And I came back after basic training. I thought, boy, my folks got so smart in 4 months. They must have went to night school. Did you ever think that about me, Debbie? It just embarrassed Debbie. She said, here comes Dad, and I had cars. I didn't love to do it. I had these old wrecks of cars, and we were going through some hard times there before I got into a little money, and I had, through the bumper, I had this bolt. It was about a 16-inch bolt, and I put nuts and washers on it, and the hood latch didn't work. Then I put a hole in the hood, and I'd slam it down on that, and I had a wing nut on it. I go in the gas station, I have to lay on the hood and then spin the wing nut. Flip it up. Huh? And remember Debbie would, her friend, she was so embarrassed of her dad. And I'd come in there, you know, it looked like I worked for pest control. this is my dad. Aren't we that way about God? Our God, my Father, your Father. And we go out and we're afraid to say, this is my dad. This is my friend, Jesus Christ. And we're kind of that way, aren't we? Because we feel we wouldn't be too popular because Dad has a car with a bolt and a hood and a wing nut and so on like that. And then Dad wasn't too nice to the girls, and I have beautiful daughters, so they'd get these guys to come over, different friends, little friends would come over, you know, and I'd say, well, you know, I was in the Olympics. I'd get them all interested. Can I show you something? And I'd get down and I'd do it, try to do a somersault, wouldn't quite make it over. You think God knows how to do those things to you too? Does he kind of seemingly let you down and humble you a little bit in front of your friends? He does that too, doesn't he? Just like the earthly father does. Were you humbled when you brought your friends over? Of course you were. Do you think God knows how to humble us? No, I think a lot of times people say, I think practices on me all the time. But then all of a sudden, our Father is our Father. We're not ashamed of Him. We're not ashamed of our mother. We're not ashamed of our father. We're ashamed of ourselves. And then we think, oh, if I could only go back and take back all those years. Oh, God, if only I would have said, this is my dad, this is my mom. Aren't they great? Aren't they wonderful? Aren't they tremendous? But now they're dead. Praise God that I was able to do that many, many years ago with my parents. And lastly, make use of God if He is yours. Call on Him. Enjoy Him. Praise Him. Love Him. Don't you love it when the little one comes up, Debbie, and wraps his arms around you? You didn't even ask for it? You didn't ask for him to hug you? You didn't ask for him and then to get a certain little look on their face? You know they're waiting for you to pick them up? Isn't that right? Remember, I used to go into Debbie's room and be real quiet now. We'd have to be real quiet around the kids. And I'd get in there and nobody was watching, and I'd shake the crib, make sure she woke up. Oh, she was awake. You think God shakes our cribs once in a while because He wants a little bit of attention? Maybe He wants a few hugs and a few I love yous and a few this and a little bit of recognition. Maybe He wants you. Doesn't that a nice sound when the little one yells inside there, you know, and you, oh, they're not awake yet. And then all of a sudden, Mommy! Isn't that a great sound? Daddy! Oh, there's that kid again. Oh, what do you want? You try to act like you're annoyed. You think God enjoys that? Isn't it great when the little one will laugh and they get that, and they just laugh? Doesn't that make you laugh? When you hear your own little child laugh, I mean a guttural laugh, a rolling in the floor laugh, doesn't that excite you? Huh? And doesn't it, when you're a little one, doesn't that excite you when you see God, your father, your earthly father is enjoying you and is laughing? Isn't that great when those kids praise you? That's my mom. I used to yell that. These kids would be chasing me, and my mother, the windmill, would be standing in the door. And I'd ninny, nanny, nanny them all up there. Nanny, nanny, nanu, nini, nuni, nini, ha. Then I'd run up and I'd get behind my great big old fat mom and say, my mom! And my mother was standing there. That's right. I'm your mom. What seems to be the problem here? Well, don't you think God wants you to come running up to Him? My dad. Now you're going to get it, Satan. Huh? Your argument isn't with me. It's with my dad, my father. These demons and these spirits bother you? Well, you can just say, my dad is tougher than your dad. Did you ever say that about your earthly father? When we're a certain age, we think our dad is the toughest guy in the world. Look out. Huh? Well, I knew one thing for sure. I had the toughest mom in the world, let me tell you that. Let me close this. the heathen, and they're all over now, use their wooden and their metal gods. Well, you say, why shouldn't we? Psalm 115, 4 through 8 says like this, their idols are silver and gold and the work of men's hands. In other words, I read this and I thought, whatever that we fashion by our own work to replace God is so irrational. For man to think he can make a god. And it goes on, they have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. Did you ever try to have a conversation with your car? Is that your god? They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses have they, but they smell not. Are you hearing this? They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. I got to looking at this in the window. There's this great big Buddha, and this scripture came to my mind that I'm reading right now. Psalm 115, 4 through 8. And this great big fat Buddha. And it says, they have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. You know the thought that came to me? That Buddha can't even burp. Although he looks like he needs to have a real good one, I thought. Well, that's just what came to me, okay? I mean, call it sacrilegious or whatever, but that's what I think about Buddha. He can't even burp. And it says, they that make them are like unto them. If you make an idol out of something, then you're like that. If you got a preacher as an idol, you become like that preacher. If you have a teaching that is an idol, oh, hey, follow after the gospel of Jesus Christ and the salvation of souls and doing the Lord's work and none else. Or you'll make an idol out of that thing. And it says, they that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusts in them. Don't trust in anything but the Lord Jesus Christ and my God, your God. And verse 9, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield, whatever others do. Let the elect of heaven hold fast to their confession, to the God that first knew them and chose them. I have chosen you. You didn't choose God. God first chose you. Then verse 11. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. What have we said here today? Trust ye only in the Lord. Whatever that your trouble is, you listening on the radio today, no matter what it may be, however fierce that your enemies are, let us not fear and let us not falter, but confidently rest in the Lord Jesus Christ and find your peace and find your joy and find your happiness and find your portion in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is their help, it says, and their shield. Verse 10, God only is our help. Besides, he is our God. For he said, I will be their God. Did you hear that, Satan? He will be our God. Excuse all you want to yourself. I'll turn and I'll accuse all you want to, Satan. But God has spoken, I will be their God. Isn't that something? Isn't that a beautiful message? Shouldn't we go out and spread the word? I will be their God. Shouldn't that make us want to sing praises in Psalm 98:1? Oh, sing unto the Lord, it says a new song. For he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. Oh, we're talking about Jesus our King, and he's lived a marvelous life, died a marvelous death, risen by a marvelous glory to God resurrection and ascended into a marvelously into heaven, glory to God, and He sent the Holy One, the Holy Spirit. We need to sing a new song unto the Lord and keep singing and praising the Lord, glory to God, for He has done great things. He has sent the Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us the gospel message. He has given you all that you need. You need nothing else. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory, the Bible says. Are you hearing this? Not by the aid of others, but by His own unweaponed hand. He conquered, it says, sin, and He conquered death and hell. And it's all done by His very own wisdom. And in Psalm 98 and 4, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise, rejoice, and sing praise. Make a joyful noise, glory to God, unto the Lord, all the earth. Every tongue, I'm telling you today, should applaud the Lord. It must come from the joy of the heart. And you only have that joy of the heart when you finally and forever realize that there's nothing else saving that He is my God. Is there anything else? Is there any person? Is there anyone you can trust other than the Lord? Say it. Say you can't. No, of course you can't. Can you trust in yourself? Can you trust in the arm of the flesh? You can't trust any of that. Oh, but you got that glorious message. My God, sing it out loud and sing it lustily. Go ahead and just open up your mouth and sing it. Don't the rock groups do it? And they sing off pitch. That's why they sing so loud they can't carry a tune. And they have such lovely songs. I heard one not too long ago. Beat It. Isn't that an encouragement? Look out, boy, she'll chew you up. Isn't that an encouragement? These boots were made for walking. They're going to walk all over you. Isn't that an encouragement? No, God, they got these speakers. Don, you know what I'm talking about. They got speakers stacked up. We're one on top of the other. Then that isn't enough. They take these $900 and $1,500 guitars and they beat them. You know who's paying for those? The people that go in those places. Do you think they're enthusiastic about what they're doing? I do. They paint their hair. I seen a guy the other day. He had balded his head and he had a shock of hair. He must have had some kind of a glue on it. And it looked like the Northern Lights. And it was sticking straight out. It was about this tall. Sticking straight out of his head. He was walking around like he was normal. And I thought, now these people, and they were all sitting in the cafe, and one girl had balded her head, and then another guy had all his hair cut off, and he had a braid off the back of his neck. Looked like a horse. And I looked at these people, I said, who's normal? And they had on fatigue jackets and beads and earrings. And one person had about 15 earrings hanging off of their ears. I'm not talking one earring. I'm talking a chandelier. But you know something? They're serious about what they're doing. They have brought people in. Then I heard they take pills so they can sing higher. Is that true, Don? They take pills and then their voice gets octaves higher? Oh, helium. Well, how do they do that? Do they have a helium tank on stage? They have smoke bombs? Listen now, brother. Are you hearing this? I seen on TV where they're serious about what they're doing. Now this is, I'm serious about what I'm saying here too. It's a funny side to it, but they have smoke bombs. They're serious about what they're doing. They put a lot into what they're doing. And they have they spend thousands on mementos of dead idols. Are you hearing this? They run across the floor and they run into each other with these sharp bracelets on. I mean, they're serious. I thought, these people are really serious. And they took one kid, and the audience was out there standing up, and they did this one of this, one, two, three. And this kid went sailing out into the audience. I even hear now where some of them are breaking their necks out there and are dying. They're so serious, they'll die for that. Don't you think it's time that we start to get a little bit serious about what we're doing? Don't you think we should start to make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise and burst forth and sing praises and play and let every form that exaltation be used, every kind of form there is, every kind of music be pressed into service till the accumulated praises causes the skies to echo with a joyful, joyful sound, hallelujah. There is no fear about being too hardy in our magnifying God, is there? I'm talking about doing it in the right spirit. See, you can do it in the wrong spirit, can't you? And so let our hearts ring out. Give your testimony when you go out today. Say praise the Lord in the cafe. And the waitress says, you say, do you have Sanka? Yes. Praise the Lord. But don't say it like a phony. Start to praise the Lord. Start to lift up your voices. Start to magnify God, the God that allows you to say, my God. See, I know where I'm at today. I have a God, and he's not only a God, but he's my God. My God. No, the legalist out there said, well, there's a lot of people that did have God, but now they don't have God. No, that isn't the way it goes. You probably, preacher, have some kids right now that you wish they weren't yours, but they're still yours. You're still going to have to take care of them. They're still saying, my dad. How much more then is your heavenly father? Do you think your heavenly father is going to let you go? Do you think if you're destined to be saved that you're going to get away, you listening on the radio that are out there in the world? No, no, no. He's going to get you. God is going to get you. And I think people need to hear that. I think it's an encouragement to people when they're out there. One time I was at a gas station, and these brothers were real legalists. And, oh, no, and they had this, and they had the little white hats they wear, you know, and the long, long, ugly dresses that the women wore, you know. And then it looked like they jumped in a flour barrel, and they wouldn't put on any kind of eye makeup and all that kind of thing. Now, I mean, you can wear it or not wear it. That isn't going to change God's about you. I'm not saying you have to look like a vampire, girls, but I mean, you know, I mean, it isn't, no, see, it doesn't mean a thing, see. But anyway, here's these people there, and this little guy over here, they said, well, we're praying for this brother over there, and he was doing some kind of a mechanic work over there, you know. Oh, he was a dead, flat-out sinner, see, and oh, boy, God should deal with him, you know. I mean, this guy is so gross, we don't believe it. We're praying for him, and so on like that. I said, hey, son, come on over here. And so the young guy, he came over and he looked at me kind of shy-like, you know, and he says, would you pray with us? I says, make room for the brother. I called him a brother. Well, he is a brother. Make room for the brother here in the circle. And so I prayed, and I said, would you pray for me? No, he didn't know how to pray. And he was all nervous and sweaty. His hands were all sweating and everything. And I said, well, just say, God, help him. So he says, God, help him. And then he said three or four more words, and I think he surprised himself. And finally I said, you know what, I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Woe be it to me if I minister not the gospel. I said, and I have to ask you this most important question or I'll be found faulty in the Lord. Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? He said, well, no. Now, he had worked in that gas station for almost a year and a half. And these guys were steady praying for him, but see, their prayers weren't right, were they? No, and their actions weren't right either. And so the young man come to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior that day in that circle of unbelieving believers. See, God put him in there to get saved. We were so busy judging him that he couldn't get saved in there because, see, we weren't sent to judge people. God didn't come down here to judge. He came down here to set people free. He came down here to save people. He didn't come down and say, now this is wrong with you and that's wrong with you and you either shape up, because you can't shape up all by yourself. It's the power of God that shapes people up. See, you can't take credit for anything. You can't take credit for this, you can't take credit for that or anything. Okay. Now, is there anyone in here that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody in the...
There you have it, the conclusion to episode 192. That was part two of My God. Be sure to join us next Friday for episode 193. This will be part one Unless the Lord builds, we labor in vain. And the new month of May, ooh, it ought to be good. God bless you and have a great week.
You got to move. You got to move. You got to move, child. You got to move. Oh, when the Lord get ready, you got to move. When the light